This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome back to Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and to find out who my co-host really is, I have played the knowledge is power advantage, or what I call the lasso of truth. And she needs to tell the truth about every question I'm about to ask her.
Wait, what?
Is your name?
Well, my name is Jessica Lewis.
Okay. Who is your favorite podcast co-host?
Ooh, this is a tough one. I think I'd have to go with David Bloomberg.
All right. And the final question I'm allowed to ask. Do you jump ahead to other rules just to drive your co-host crazy?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. That's what I thought.
Now that we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But are they really allowed to ask multiple questions? I feel like it was limited to one.
Oops.
I think you took advantage. of the advantage.
You didn't ask to see it, so...
That's true. Where's Jeff Probst? Can I get a do-over? Someone needs to jump in here. Although I would have told you all those things anyway, because everybody knows I cheat on purpose because you love it.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, we are here not to discuss necessarily the lasso of truth, although I bet it'll be discussed. But to talk about Genie.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, I predicted the Genie would be the easy boot if Ua lost. And, well, I was a week off. Last week, I said she's doomed if Ua goes to tribal council. And I know production tried to make it seem like there could be a different outcome. But I knew the whole time it was going to be Genie.
Oh, look at you. You always want to pat yourself on the back.
Someone's got to. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember. I think maybe I disagreed with you.
Who knows? But if you had told me before the episode, for sure, Gina's getting voted out and there's no reward challenge, I would have been like, how are you going to fill an hour? But I'm happy to say they did a very good job of it by actually telling the players' stories or letting the players do it.
It was rather fascinating. Another week that I don't have to complain about advantage get in, however you would say that, and that too many things are happening that are unrelated to the actual strategic gameplay of the actual players themselves. So, yeah, I was very pleased to see that we got some more inside skinny and learned more about the players and also saw some really incredible battling it out, if you will. So it was good. I liked it. Yeah, it was very good.
Yeah. Now, we, of course, tell stories in a different way than Survivor does, and that's by comparing each player's game to the rules for winning that I originally wrote way back after season one and have been updating ever since. I feel like Genie only saw the season one version, but we look at all the non-spoiler information available to us from what we saw on TV, interviews, social media. And I'm going to stop saying Paramount Plus clips because they didn't even bother to put in some clips from the show this time. There's literally nothing there this week.
Not sure what's happening there.
Yeah, I don't know. To see the most recent version, go to our dedicated page at robhasapodcast.com/YXLostFeeds. And there
it
is. You can just.
Beautiful.
Yep. You can go right there and right here. Survivor 41 rules.
Keep scrolling. Come on. You can do
it. Sorry. But And then a different link from that page, which I guess I should have kept up, will take you to eBay so you can get the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules in poster form.
That's right. There it is.
There it is.
Shipping department, full swing. Order up. We'll get it to you. And if you cannot get it off of eBay, just contact me directly. And I apologize to anyone who has contacted me and I haven't gotten back to you with a confirmation of price. I'm working on it. But yes, right. I will definitely help you with shipping and handling costs if you live outside of the United States.
All right. In addition to the poster, of course, we have other ways to get the rules. So you can always have them in t-shirt form, in sweatshirt form, in mug form. The robhasapodcast.com/yxlostfeeds has links to those. You can see one there for the poster t-shirt. There's also the checklist t-shirt. You know, I'll show my checklist mug. So yeah, then you could just click on there to get to those shirts, and then you may just have to, you know, poke around a little bit to get to everything else.
Mm-hmm. But it's a great place to poke around.
Definitely. As a matter of fact, you could find the shirt that I'm wearing.
I know. I love that one. It's so great.
Yes. And now I'm wearing it in honor of the fact that David versus Goliath is now on, or going to be on, Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
And we should now shout out to Rob, who had a birthday, right?
Yes. Well, I already shouted it out.
I didn't do the shout out, so I apologize. Oh, so here's my shout out to you. Happy belated birthday. I'm so sorry.
Yes, Rob pointed out I was the first person to ever wish him happy birthday on TikTok. And who would have imagined we'd ever be saying those words?
Listen, can we just stop for 2 seconds? Because, all right, we need to spend a little bit of time on your new TikTok personality and life that you are living. I am thoroughly enjoying it because we all know that we might not be that technically savvy when it comes to certain things. I mean, we're getting better, right, as we've moved along. But now you are just owning this TikTok, and I love it. I'm here for it. I fully support it. So if you haven't seen David Bloomberg on TikTok, jump on there because it is very entertaining stuff.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's David_Bloomberg. We normally save that till the end, but hey, I'll take it.
You got to get props now because
that's right. I haven't exactly gone viral yet. You know, we're waiting on that. We need a few more people to jump on board.
Yeah, I think so. But I think you're going to get there. I really do.
Yeah, I have a queue of about 4 or 5 more. I'm trying to do one a day. They're almost all, well, they're all Survivor. I mean, if you count wishing Rob a happy birthday as Survivor.
Which was, it was a beautiful message. And I will say, like, listen, I am jealous because at some point, hopefully my life will calm down and I will have more time to spend on things like wishing Rob a happy birthday when it's actually his birthday. Mm. And maybe even creating a TikTok or two. I don't know. But yes, so just craziness, just absolute craziness. But I'm still here doing the podcast, supporting my co-host, who I've already said is my favorite co-host.
All right. Well, before we get to the rules, in addition to what we just talked about, we always have a few things to discuss from the episode. Of course, I already mentioned what I call the lasso of truth. Mm-hmm. And I call it that because Liana can now become Wonder Woman by forcing someone to tell the truth and lassoing an advantage or idol away from them.
I'm very curious how this is going to play out. I did ask some Twitter people to see what their thoughts were because I was
Twitter
unclear.
People always know everything.
Exactly. Sometimes. So I was very confused because it seems like this is the type of advantage that needs to have like a negotiator or somebody else be a part of it. And I don't like that. I don't like this idea of introducing production back into the game in order for an advantage to actually take effect, which we've already seen, right? Because they have to go to the actual challenge and they all have to say these phrases. And what if they say it wrong? We've been curious about that. How is that going to play out? Who gets to say, yes, that's the actual phrase and it said correctly. So we were questioning that, right? And now we have this advantage where, again, someone has to jump in because the person can't lie. So they have to be told they cannot lie. And then someone has to confirm that it was not a lie. So clearly, there needs to be like a Jeff Probst angle in here. And I don't love that. I don't love that at all.
I mean, I think it can happen in one of two ways. One, if it happens at tribal council, like when Jeff says, if anyone has any an idol or any an advantage that they'd want to play, do it now. Well, we were wondering, and I think I was even asked this question in the Q&A patron show, you know, what kind of advantage would it be? Well, I think now we know.
Right.
Because that would be the perfect time to do it. You know, you got somebody sitting there going, ha, 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 I'm going to play my idol. And instead someone's like, hey, do you have an idol? Give it to me. And they're like, oh.
But crud. See, again, that wouldn't work because you play the idol after the vote. So then all of a sudden, does that person get their idol taken away from them before the vote happens?
Maybe. If that's an advantage that can be played, then what would become interesting is if you're sitting there and you're super eager to whip out your idol. And as soon as he says that, you go, I have an idol. And then Liana's busy, like rummaging in her backpack. Goes, nuts. I was going to take that from him.
Right.
You know, could she interrupt him to say, do you have an idol?
This is what I don't like about it. There's too many potential variables or questions.
Right. Now, if it's outside of tribal council, and well, then you've always got a camera person there anyway, you know, a producer. And so if you're talking and I come up to you and I say, Jessica, I have an advantage that says you have to tell me the truth about whether or not you have an idol. And you might just like, you know, turn to the camera or the producer like, and they'd be like, yep. And of course, all that part will be cut out.
But they can't do that. And that's the part that I'm like, I say they can't do that. Well, because the camera people and the producers don't speak to you when you are like interacting during the game. They're not allowed to unless they're actually sitting with you. But this is what I'm saying. Right. Like this goes against every like idea where people want to believe and they should believe that Survivor is real and that these things are happening. And in order to do that, they don't allow production to get involved in that fashion. Now, all of a sudden, you've got some random camera guy because producers are not always standing there. It might just be a camera person. And now that poor camera person has to be like, I don't know. I'm just here to take beautiful pictures of Fiji and the players and create an incredible show. But I don't necessarily know what this person has or doesn't have because that's not my job. And so that's why I'm a little bit leery. I mean, clearly they figured it out because they went through the season with it. So they had to have done something. But it, to me, is getting in the way again of just gameplay in its most natural form.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is first of all, the episode made it seem like she's going to do it to Xander in the future. But a number of people have been wondering if instead it'll be Nasir that she targets. Because, of course, she has seen the thing. She knows that why Nasir, you know, said he was as confused as a goat on AstroTurf.
Right.
And let me tell you, if she takes Nasir's idol after that story, there is going to be rioting in the streets.
I know. Nasir is lovely. Oh, yes. My goodness. Like, what a great Nasir episode. It was like this guy couldn't do anything wrong. And he's just playing it so impeccably
well. He won the challenge on his own.
He did. He won the challenge on his own, found an idol, didn't tell anybody. Thank you, Nasir. Mm-hmm. And like, surprised the hell out of us. I will say I appreciate the editing move on that where all of a sudden, like, they get to the challenge and Nasir's like, oh, Jeff?
I mean, his acting and his smoothness wasn't great.
Wasn't great.
It was like, I am as confused as a goat on AstroTurf.
And everybody this is like, why I loved
but
it.
Everybody, I think everybody was like, yeah, that's Nasir. Okay.
right. You know what I appreciate so much about it is that he just did it. He didn't try to turn it into a story.
Right.
He didn't try to like come up with some reason why he was having hallucinations and not sleeping and I can't eat and I'm so crazy right now that this is what my brain is. He was just like, Jeff, and he said his phrase and that was it. And I loved that moment. I loved it because it was kind of ironic because we all thought the phrases were so silly and he just owned it.
Now, I will say I give props to Xander for... you know, the way he reiterated yes. it again. Now, I don't know. I know that Ricard and Shan were trying to come up with a way for Shan to say hers. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Ricard purposely misstated the phrase so it gave Xander an opening to say,
oh, yeah.
Well, actually what I said was...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
Yeah. Because they all, I mean, and that's the part of all of this that made it so weird was how do you get that person to say it again?
Right.
Because if you keep repeating it multiple times, people are going to be like, what the hell is happening? This is yes. so weird. So I do think that that was probably a plan on Ricard's part, just because why else would you do that? It's a perfect segue and setup for mm-hmm. Xander to say what he needs to say. And that did flow very nicely, which makes the right. Jeff moment that yes. much funnier.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Nasir, you said he had a great episode, and I know we're going off on a tangent from a tangent at this point, mm-hmm. but remember, he was supposed to have a bad episode because we tracked it. It was good, bad, good, bad.
I know.
Good, bad, good, bad, great.
And he had a great episode. So, yes, so you were wrong about that.
Well, hey, I'm just following the editing. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, rioting in the streets if Lyanna takes it from him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there should be some rioting in the survivor streets anyway because of how overpowered this advantage is.
Yeah.
On the plus side, there is at least some strategy involved. Okay. Mm-hmm. If Lyanna does steal it from Xander, it will be because Xander told Evie that he had it. Evie mm-hmm. told Lyanna and Tiffany, and then eventually Xander told Tiffany, although he messed that up. Right. But leading to a number of great, just hysterical faces from Tiffany, which then I turned into a TikTok. But if she steals it from Nasir, well, it'll still be for the same reason, which was that Xander gave gave it away, and Nasir won't have had anything to do with it.
Right, but I do feel like whoever she does decide to do this to. And obviously she has another choice, right? She's got Shan as well because she knows that.
Yeah, but after that, that's
And that's what, so right. she certainly won't take it from Shan, but I do think that there might be an idea to take some power away from particular people. And mm-hmm. if she thinks Nasir doesn't really come with a whole lot of power with his group, then maybe she just leaves it alone because he might be someone that they could utilize because obviously Blue is coming in, love you, is coming in with much more of, numbers as far mm-hmm. as a potential merge is concerned. So maybe she wants to leave that alone. And Xander, they've already kind of, not he's on the outs, but he feels like he's being a little bit removed. And so it might be in her best interest to leave that alone over there, even though Xander is with her. But it'll be interesting to see. I don't love it. I think it's a lot. But this is a new season. It's a new era. So, we're learning all of these new yes. advantages and how they work. And we have to learn about AstroTurf and broccoli and butterflies and dead relatives. So
yes.
this is where we're at.
Yeah. Now, it is interesting because you actually brought up a point. I said at least strategy based. And then I said, well, she won't take it from Shan for that reason. Well, that kind of proves my point unintentionally, which is that Shan now has a relationship with her, and that's mm-hmm. the reason that she won't take it from Shan.
Right.
So again,
right.
it goes back to that. Now, another complaint that people have had that I've seen is this is a brand new advantage, and it's therefore unknowable to the players. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But it is offset by the fact that the players should know about the possibility of something else that is a little similar, which is the idol nullifier.
Right.
And so if that exists, then you really shouldn't be telling people about your idol anyway, just in case. And
true, but I'm jumping in here
okay.
to stop you, because if anybody knows about these weird advantages where you have to say all these silly mm-hmm. phrases in order for your idol to turn on, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Then having an idol nullifier seems a little bit unfair, right? Because you're announcing it. You're forced to have to announce it in front of everybody that I've got an idol, but I can't use it unless everybody else says these phrases. And if enough people know that, then I do think that the idol nullifier, it loses the whole point of what the idol nullifier was supposed to be, was that nobody saw it coming and you had to kind of guess, is someone going to play an idol? now you're like kind of helping them, right? Because you're like, oh, we're going to make everyone announce who has an idol. And then we're going to put forth this advantage, which, of course, now she knows exactly who to ask these questions to, right? I mean, it's not like she doesn't have to do any head scratching. It could, 1, 2, 3, here's my options and done and done. And I know that they can't lie to me and I'm going to get the answer I want.
Right.
So I feel like it really is too much because they've made it too easy for her.
Yeah. I mean, I again, she at least found that information out from, you know, strategically. The people on the Love You tribe may have no clue.
Right.
You know, and so if they had gotten this, it wouldn't have been as useful to them.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think what it goes back to is you should only be playing an idol as a last ditch effort when other strategy didn't work to pull the necessary numbers to your side.
Sure.
So in a way, this advantage takes us back to a back to basics days, pre-idol days when you just had to rely on strategy. You can't rely on that idol because the idol could be snatched away.
Right. Well, so, all right. We'll see. We'll be off our tangent now. We'll go on to other
things. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a couple more advantage related items, not that advantage.
Okay.
I did find it funny when Shan was talking to Ricard about how she wanted her advantage back.
Yes.
It's like, your advantage, how quickly poor JD has been forgotten.
I know. And you want to know what I think is interesting too about that whole thing is like, this just shows you the issues that you run into when you do share information with people, because then it does become a question as to who actually is the keeper of that.
Mm-hmm.
And forgive me if I'm wrong here, but isn't it true that once you pass something off to someone, it does become theirs in the rules of Survivor?
Yes.
So you pass it on to that person. I don't think you then have the right to demand it back because it's yours. You can ask for it and say, I'd like back. And they
can
go,
demand it. It's just you that no producer can, is going to intervene. And
right. You can't sit there and say, well, it's mine because, well, technically it's not yours anymore, right? Because you gave it to someone else.
Yeah. I mean, you could say anything you want.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But I'm still wondering, why did Shan give it to Ricard to begin with? Because she did it so far ahead of when it was needed. She did it before the immunity challenge. So if she hadn't done that, the whole discussion / argument could have been avoided.
But I think the reason they did it, if I'm remembering, is because they knew that if they went to the challenge, and she said her phrase and magically the third phrase was said, she was losing her vote. So I think that's why he gave, like, if the third phrase wasn't said. So she walks into the challenge, says the broccoli thing, and then the dead butterflies or relatives or whatever it is said, and then nobody says anything from Love You. She's now lost her vote, which leaves Ricard with two.
Yeah, but she could still hand it off to him after that.
Well, but that's what I'm curious about.
I think they may have been overthinking it. Like, they were worried about that. But the thing is, she had already, the minute she opened the advantage, she lost her vote until and unless those things were set.
Right. But wait a second. So we got to talk this through just for a second, because I'm thinking of Xander, right? Because Xander had I lost my vote, but he has an extra vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been saying all along, I've lost my vote.
Yes,
so he hasn't walked into anything thinking he still has a vote that he can use.
Correct.
So how can you pass off an extra vote if you don't have a vote?
Because it's about casting the vote. When you lose your vote, you're not allowed to put anything in the urn. That's the way Joe Leah explained it on Twitter.
Okay.
You know, you're not allowed to cast a vote. Doesn't say anything about handing over advantages to other people.
All right. Well, that's fair then. I understand.
So, I mean, now, did they know that in the heat of the moment? Probably not.
How can you? You need to have an appendix, an appendix for the new advantages that are happening in this game. So it's too much.
That may answer the question as to why she did it as a just in case measure.
Right. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything else, advantage or non-advantage related, that you want to talk to before we get to the rules?
No, I think we'll just get into it because I've already spent so much time talking about these lovely advantages. We'll just talk about Genie like we came here to do.
All right.
But well, I will say this. I'm sorry. I will say this. Genie's adorable. I just want to put that out there because, like, just the little bits that we got to see with her, like, reactions during some of the challenges that she wasn't involved in, and just, I just thought it was great television. Like, just very, very genuine, very honest, like, reactions that I just love. And so she was fun to watch, for sure.
Yes, yes, I agree. I like how you're getting that disclaimer in there ahead of time.
No, but I listen, okay, we're going to talk about it. But I do, there's a lot of things about Genie that I was fascinated with before the season started.
Yes.
And I'm more fascinated about it now. Because of a lot of reasons, and I won't jump ahead.
All right.
Look.
Yeah,
that's my advantage.
Yeah. Advantage, Jessica. Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back, so let's get back to the show. All right. Well, at the end of Survivor Know-It-Alls, Rob was listing off the upcoming podcasts, as, of course, he always does. And when he got to ours, he wondered to Stephen about whether Genie followed the rules. Stephen guessed no. But the time for guessing is over. Let's dive into everything Genie did to determine what was right and where she went oh so wrong.
I think I might have seen that in a TikTok.
Yes, you might have. But now it's time to figure out why Genie lost. The first and the first and most important rule talks about the need to scheme and plot. This was not exactly a strong point for Genie.
No.
Last week, after Brad was voted out, Genie was upset because they blindsided her, even though she'd been feeding the tribe. And where was Genie when Shan and Ricard schemed and decided to get the Beware Idol without telling her? Out spearfishing. Mm-hmm. Even after Genie was voted out, she was wondering who would tend to the fire. All of those were things Genie believed to be important on Survivor. But in reality, none of them actually were.
Right. And what have we heard about Genie from so many people who have been voted out? Is that Genie and Brad didn't want to strategize. I mean, it was so overly apparent to people on their tribe that it was almost disturbing that, like, you don't even want to try to scheme and plot a little bit. And it would be one thing if one person said it, but I think we've had like three people say it at this point. So, you know, I do feel that there
including
was
including Genie herself. Yes.
Well, right. You know, so it's like, it's, at this point, like, we can kind of say, okay, she wasn't doing that because it's multiple people who are repeating the same story. And we saw it, obviously, on screen as well. So it's not even a question as to whether or not it did happen. So that's just kind of an unfortunate component for Genie's game, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to just, I get to use this quote one more time, one final time from Sarah. Telling Mike Bloom about Brad and Genie, saying they were very honest, loyal, and upfront with who they were voting for. They kind of weren't strategizing.
Yeah.
So again, how many seasons can you use a quote from like the first person voted out of the tribe for four different
good.
Podcasts?
Good. Let's bring that up again. Makes me.
Oh
feel good.
Yeah. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when it came to the things that Genie should have been doing, well, she told Rob she just can't lie to somebody unless it's a her or them situation, and added flat out, I played with too much honesty or with way too much honesty. Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I have a theory about why.
Go for it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Well, you know, you waited. So I was like, am I jumping ahead? I don't want to get
yelled
at. No, I was
just waiting. You were letting the tension build. You know, I have a theory about
what am
why.
I gonna say? Yeah. Well, because in a lot of her, press that she did before the game, like when she described herself and the life that she lives and the people that she deals with, She described herself, and I am not jumping ahead, okay? Don't think I'm jumping ahead.
I would never think that of you.
But she described herself as someone who everybody likes, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do think that her idea of herself infiltrated the way that she thought she was going to play this game, that like, maybe I don't need to scheme and plot so much. And maybe I don't need to strategize that much because people just like me. Like, it's a natural thing that I have. It's just this, it's something I exude. And for whatever reason, people like me. And because of that, I will be fine. People will just, they will gravitate to me and I won't have to really play the game that hard. And I'm curious if that's what caused her to take such kind of a lackadaisical approach to the actual strategy component. Because in her real life, she's never had to really worry about doing anything like that, like because people have just right. liked her. And I'm curious about that angle with her.
Well, I know you weren't jumping ahead, but I'm going to put off my answer to that until we get to a later rule.
All right.
So
thank you for acknowledging I was not jumping ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. But
ever.
I mean, but, you know, Jeannie told Ricard in this episode, I'm here to play. But was she really? I'd say no. You know, and part of it is what you just said. But even looking at the situation that happened with JD helps demonstrate that. And what I'm talking about here is that last week, JD said in his post-game interviews that he tried to get Jeannie on board to vote with him against Ricard.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie said in all her interviews, there's no way that happened. Right. And in fact, she said she even hinted to him about him using the extra vote. Now, sitting here, I obviously don't know which version of the story is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Probably something in the middle. But even in her own version of the story, she said she hinted to JD about using the extra vote.
Right.
Why would you hint? Why would you say things like, JD, are you saving that vote for later? Which is what she described. No. Just outright ask him.
Right.
If you want to join together to vote out Ricard, say, I know you have the extra vote. That's three. We could vote out Ricard.
Right.
Then there would have been no misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think that could be the disconnect, is she was hinting rather than strategizing. And he took that as, crap, she's not even interested.
Right. And I am. And here's the other thing, too, that I do think that because of what we're seeing so much on this particular season, where it's like everybody is running around telling everybody else's secrets. And as soon as anyone knows anyone else's secrets, that person is kind of doomed. And I'm curious if maybe she was feeling that like, I don't want to be running around telling everybody else's secrets. And so I'm going to try to give him a little bit of a nudge and see if he gives some information or, you know, shares anything with me, because I do feel like this is a very telltale. Is it, what is it like? What
tattletale.
There we go. It's like a very tattletale kind of season. And maybe she's been seeing that and she's a little concerned. I don't know.
That is giving her the biggest benefit of the doubt, I will
say. Listen,
yes.
I'm just trying to put it all together.
I'm just saying. I mean, now, one thing is that we know Jeannie trusted Shan.
Yes.
Okay. She told Rob nobody really trusted Ricard or wanted to work with him, and that the only reason they did is they wanted Shan on their side, which kind of answers something we brought up last week about the subtweet from Ricard, you know, saying, well, for someone who didn't want to work with me, he certainly did a lot. Well,
right.
There you have it. You know, here's Jeannie saying the same thing, basically. You know, it seems everybody did indeed think Shan was on their side. Now, one reason that Jeannie was personally convinced was that Shan told her about the plan to get JD's extra vote when they were voting him out. So Jeannie felt like she was in on it. Now, you know, Jeannie talked to several interviewers and said, well, Shan told me that. And then I went to go to the bathroom in the ocean. And by the time I came back, she had it. And, you know, this was played up like, oh, did an ill time going to the bathroom change? No, it didn't change anything. What was Jeannie going to do? Run back to JD? We already know she didn't do that. So,
right.
I think that was a much ado about a number two.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of time in your own head saying, what if I had done something differently right there?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So Now, in addition to, you know, Jeannie feeling like she was in on it because of that, Shannon Ricard convinced her that they had only faked the broccoli tree statement. So that meant if Jeannie went and grabbed the now fake idol, which she thought was would have been real, she would lose her vote. So she told Rob about the situation and said she, quote, thought that these two had more integrity.
I just want to say how impressed I was in this moment with Ricard, because what a great way to set it all up.
Right.
I mean, it was, it's really just showing you how, like, the leaps and bounds ahead that Shannon and Ricard are in this game compared to everyone else is at least on their
on tribe. Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, is Jeannie was clearly outgunned in the strategy department.
100%. Here. Yes.
So, you know, I'd like to close out this rule with something Jeannie told Mike Bloom. She said, Shannon Ricard and JD were so hyper-focused on game, game, game. I don't really think they actually took a moment once in a while to be like, wow, look at this place. And I did that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, Jeannie. I'm glad that she got to enjoy her surroundings. But being hyper-focused on the game is the actual reason you're out there. And it's also the way we evaluate players on this podcast. I'm sorry.
And I will say, speaking of someone who was out there,
mm-hmm.
I do kind of kick myself for not having as many moments to appreciate what the surroundings were, because I was so concerned about what was happening in camp. And there were a very, like, there's very few memories that I have where I just had like a moment of pause and clarity where I could just be like, wow, this is absolutely gorgeous. Like what I'm experiencing mm-hmm. right now. But those moments were few and far between. And
well,
so
part of that is because, like, your eyes were swollen half shut for half the time.
So. Made it a little bit hard on
me.
But, you know, so I do think that that's part of the thing with Survivor, right, is you have to be able to kind of dull out the noise and compartmentalize. There you go. Yes. Thank you. I'll get a lot of feedback on Twitter about that one.
Yeah.
It's one of those words I never say appropriately. But it is interesting, because I think that's why they choose these locations, right? Like, and now we're kind of stuck in Fiji all the time, mm-hmm. which is okay. But it is very distracting, because you're like, wow, I'm in Fiji. This is gorgeous and beautiful. And you have to be able to kind of set that aside and go, oh, I have a game to play, mm-hmm. you know, and not get distracted by all of these other things that are happening, because it's a whole new experience for everybody. So I do understand where she's coming from. But yes, I mean, your first focus has to be the game, and then you can appreciate your surroundings after.
Right, right. All right, for the second rule, it says not to scheme and plot too much. I don't really think there's a whole lot to say here, do you?
I think we kind of covered it in the first rule.
Yeah. Kind of. I also think we mostly covered the third rule, which says to be flexible. I mean, do you think she did what was necessary here, making multiple sub-alliances so she could jump around with different plans?
No, I mean, and the thing is like, she said something in her exit press about the whole with the first vote and thinking that everyone was going to drop the hammer on Ricard. And so she kind of locked in on Ricard and didn't know that this other conversation had been had where it was Sarah. And so I think that was pretty telling as to how she was left out of the loop. And so she didn't even understand that she needed to be flexible, because she was kind of at that moment, she locked herself into, oh, well, it must be Ricard. And then mm-hmm. what ends up happening? She ends up basically getting Ricard on her bad side because she voted for him.
Right.
But she was thinking that that's what was happening without really like digging in on her own in that moment to really figure out what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, she was playing, and I said this earlier, a year 2000 era Survivor. She had Brad, and then she supposedly had Shan, and she just didn't think about any other possibilities, which allowed Shan and Ricard to just run rings around her strategically.
Right.
So the fourth rule tells players not to let their emotions control them. And once again, with Jeannie, we have an opposite situation.
Mm-hmm.
She told Mike Bloom, it's very obvious I play with my heart. So if you've got my heart and I really, really like you and mm-hmm. I connect with you, I'm totally loyal. It happened with Brad and it happened with Shan.
Yeah.
She told Rob, I felt like I had a true emotional connection with Shan. Then she goes on, you know, she saw that others had made similar mistakes with Shan, but Jeannie thought she was different and Shan actually liked her and wanted to go to the end with her. Not all those other people she'd voted out.
I know. I really find this fascinating. Like that Shan must have this like magic dust that she sprinkles on people.
Well, yeah. I mean, she said it was like little affectionate things, like she put her head on her shoulder or do these other things that seemed to indicate a true connection. You know, and so now this goes back to, I think, answering the question that you had asked, because she told Mike Bloom, in my gut, I knew that she liked me better. This may just be me projecting, but I feel like if I truly like someone in my heart, I could never vote against you. I thought because she liked me so much, I would make it. And that's exactly it. Like, as you were saying, you know, she may have felt like she just described, I like you, so I can't vote against you. So that must mean everybody's playing the same.
Right. And you like me and I like you and we're a happy family. What is that? Like the Barney theme song?
Oh, God. No. Barney was banned in my house. I mean, so yes, Jeannie, unfortunately, you were projecting. And because she played honestly rather than an actual game of Survivor, she projected very much the reverse of what most players would do.
Well, and I do think I'm going to just jump in here, too. Like, because instead of playing an actual game of Survivor, I think she was playing a game of Survivor, but it was her own version, which doesn't necessarily make that OK. But let's think about her approach with Shan and how she was approaching the game. If she is thinking that she genuinely is liked by other people, and if Shan suspects that about Jeannie, all Shan did was just take advantage of the type of person that Jeannie was. And so kudos to Shan for figuring that out and then utilizing that to her benefit. Like, oh, this is someone who really takes to people who are sincere and nice to them, even though I'm faking it. Like, I'm not really that way. And unfortunately, Jeannie, I think, has been exposed to people who haven't really treated her that way in her life. And I'm just basing it on her pregame press, where she really just seemed to be able to connect with people. And that's why I was very fascinated with her in the beginning, because I was curious how that was going to play out. Like, if you're someone who just believes that people like you, how are you going to then play the game of Survivor? Are you going to get the proper read on people? And unfortunately, I think the reads she was getting was what people wanted her to perceive of them, including Shan. And then she found herself in the situation that she was in.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yes, I said, you know, an actual game of Survivor. All of them are playing an actual game of Survivor.
I'm not trying to give you shit or anything. I'm them, just saying you're a little harsh sometimes, okay?
Me? I am never harsh. I'm never scary. So, yeah. Now, Jeannie also had some problems on the flip side of playing with her heart, and that was the way she reacted angrily after they blindsided Brad. We heard from JD last week how she was yelling and throwing things, and Jeannie didn't disagree with any of that in her interviews.
Right.
She told Mike, I just couldn't bottle my emotions anymore. It was just so raw. So I was like, you guys deal with making fire. I mean, it was so much worse than what you guys even saw. I was just talking mad bleep. People I've known for years watch that and they're like, Jeannie, we've never seen you so mad. I was pretty damn mad. I told Ricard he could make his own effing papaya salad. I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing any of that for you guys. Now, we wondered last week how she went from that to being back on everyone's good side, or at least Shan's good side, since obviously what she did there is not something you ever want to do on Survivor.
Right.
You never want to get, you can keep it in, you can tell the cameras, I'm so pissed they voted Brad out and blindsided me. You can't do that.
Right.
But she also added to Mike Bloom that after, you know, a bit after the blow up, everything calmed down. We actually all started laughing at each other. The emotions went from 1 to 10 back down to 1.
Mm-hmm.
So once she blew it out, it, you know, settled down.
Well, and again, I think you're dealing with a very small group of people, too, and who at least 2 of them seem to be able to control the other people around them very well. And so she might have perceived it to be completely fine because of the way that they were presenting it to her.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think either one of them forgot the blow up that that she showed to them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, the fifth rule is all about the social game and reminds players that they need to pretend to be nice. And despite the blow up that we just talked about, I think we're in the third week of a truly nice person getting booted.
Yeah, right?
I mean, going back to what Sarah told Mike Bloom way back in week one, Jeannie is Jeannie. And I feel like everyone wanted to keep her around. She was a really, really hard worker and honestly a really good presence.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have anything to add to that?
Well, I mean, her concern for just the well-being of the tribe, the fire, the food, it really showed that she genuinely cared about these people. And, you know, so she just certainly was just a nice person. And she thought that people would like her, as I've already said, like multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly she just has to come across as a likable person if that's the way that you think other people perceive you and react to you. So, yeah, I don't think she had any issues here at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, the sixth rule warns against being too much of a threat. Did you think Jeannie... could not get that out of my mouth. Did you think Jeannie was a huge strategic threat that they definitely needed to vote out or she'd flip the game on them?
I'm going to go with no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and here's what I thought was interesting, because she sat there in the final tribal council and I feel like her final tribal
council. Although there were only three of them. So,
right.
You know.
Good point. But I feel like she was almost going against her own self when she was trying to save herself in that moment with what she was saying about mm-hmm. who do you want to go into, you know, the merge with. And I feel like she was kind of underselling her worth. And I was a little surprised. I was a little taken back by how she was presenting herself to these two individuals about why you should keep me as opposed to the other person, which was essentially Shan, make a choice. Like,
yeah.
Who you picking, me or Ricard? So, you know, because it was the way that she phrased it, if I can remember correctly, but it was something, it was like she was underutilizing the fact that people will like her.
Mm-hmm.
Like she wasn't using that as a strategic thing that like, she was making it sound like, would you rather go into the merge with someone that you know that you can like? Or it was very, very odd. I just remember listening to it going, I don't really get what you're trying to gain here.
And we will get to some of that in Appendix A, which I think may be a better place. I mean, it's either because I'm trying to think, I just don't want to start going off on a tangent, because the thing is, you're right. If she had pushed herself as, I'm more likable, therefore you should take me. But mm-hmm. where we get to the Appendix A stuff is, yeah, but what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
You're more likable, but then what?
Right.
You
right.
know?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just move. Yeah, we'll just move into the seventh rule, which covers idols and advantages, including how to handle them. Now, last week, I yelled about how you shouldn't leave an advantage hanging out of your pants. But you know how else you shouldn't handle an advantage? By telling both of your remaining tribe mates about it.
And putting it back in the tree. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know we talked previously about the idea of finding the beware advantage and then discussing it with your allies and creating a plan before opening it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was when there were like five or six people and you only had one ally.
Right.
Or two. Not in a tribe of three where you talk about it to both of the other two.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to what we said in rule one about how Jeannie was all about honesty and not at all about scheming.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, even if you think Shan is your number one, why are you bringing Ricard into the fold then?
Well, she did. Okay. So she did have an answer for that. I will say she told Mike Bloom that, well, first she did it because she didn't want to open the advantage herself and lose her vote. So she would rather know if someone took it right there in front of her rather than not knowing which one had it. And she was hoping,
which is exactly what they did.
Right. She was hoping that Ricard would take it and lose his vote because she was so certain that Love You would not find theirs. Now, here's the thing. Again, a logic flaw here. Because she said she was so certain of it was because Love You couldn't lose a challenge. So, quote, they didn't even need to look for an idol.
Yeah.
But that's not the way idol hunting works. Just because a tribe is winning doesn't mean that everyone there is in good stead. It doesn't mean that nobody is looking. There were people on Love You looking literally the first hour they were there.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a problem to just assume. You can never assume what's happening on another tribe, ever.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen that in past seasons where people are making determinations about voting strategies by who's getting voted out.
It's a women's alliance voting off all the men.
Exactly. And then I'm going to give my idol over here.
Yeah.
Right. And destroy this note as soon as you read it.
Yes.
It will self-destruct.
Yes.
But you can never make those assumptions. And so she should never have assumed what's happening on another tribe because you literally have no idea. You see them at tribal council and they're putting on a show just like you're putting on a show and everybody's putting on a show because nobody wants to actually say what's happening at their camp. So to assume that just because they're winning, they're not looking for an idol really is nonsensical.
Right. Now, the other question related to advantages and Genie is why she didn't use the shot in the dark. But as I've been saying since week one, since we learned about the shot in the dark, it reinforces how important it is to blindside somebody rather than letting them know ahead of time that they may be the target. And Shan has continued to do a great job in that regard.
Yes, she has.
She even further described perfectly why none of them should use the shot in the dark at tribal council because each one's vote and trust were too important. Now, as Rob and Steven discussed it on Know It Alls, she appeared to be speaking generally, but of course she was really making a point for an audience of one, that being Genie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how the math was, it was better, it was more in her favor to
Genie?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
she said that she didn't do it because she felt she had more than a 16.7% chance of having Shan's vote. But here's the thing, Genie, you actually had a 0.0% chance.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like that thought process doesn't actually pan out because you're basing that on that one person. But that one person holds all the cards.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's similar to what JD said. JD didn't play it because same thing. He thought there was a bigger chance he was in good with Shan than that he wasn't.
Right.
And so people are looking at these as percentages, but it's really a yes, no.
Yeah.
I mean, either you're in or you're out. If you think you're in, great. If you think you're out, play it. They both thought they were in because that's what Shan does. She makes everybody think that they're in.
Magic dust.
Yes. So, all right. Now we can move on to Appendix A, which is about the tribe keeping their end goals in mind when voting. And we talk about the players voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. When you're down to three players, weak and strong refer pretty much exclusively to how they will impact your game going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a question, where things come in for both Shan and Ricard. And this gets to what I was, talking about a little earlier. So Genie said on the show, would you like to take the honest person who will be totally loyal or the one who will make friends? Now, remember what you said. She's nice and she will make friends. But instead, she said Ricard was the one who would make friends.
Right. That's what was confusing to me.
Yes.
I'm like, what just happened? You've been telling everybody that you're this person that everyone is going to like, but then that's not what you're actually saying.
Right. But here's the thing. Let's say that she had plugged herself for making friends. She's still 100% loyal to Shan. So does it matter? No.
Right.
You can make all the friends in the world and it won't matter. And she also told Mike, I was so much more trustworthy than Ricard. Going into a merge, you want to pick the person you trust the most, especially when only two of you are left. Then she told Dalton, I'm still baffled as to why you didn't just go with me, man. I was honest with everybody. You answered your own question there, Genie.
Mm-hmm.
It shows she doesn't really understand how this game works.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's honest with everybody. That's a problem in this game.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I agree 100%.
So, yes, Shan could trust Genie. But Genie wouldn't be able to help Shan win.
Right.
As Shan said, it's a liability. It could make Shan more of a target if the others know Genie is her second vote.
Right.
And since Genie won't lie, everybody will know that Genie is her second vote.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But by taking Ricard, the two of them can scheme independently and then come back, share information, much the same way we saw Ricard convincingly telling Jeannie that he wanted to take out Shan in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, is it a risk to play with a fellow strategist who will turn on you at some point? Yes, but it's more of a risk to play with someone who is the opposite of a strategist and will draw attention to you right away.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was for Shan. The answer, similar for Ricard, because Jeannie isn't much use of an ally in the merge, like we just said. For him, I think it goes beyond that, because he's been talking about how he's the idea guy and Shan is the closer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need those two aspects of things. You know, Jeannie was not going to be the closer.
Right. And I think what they were doing is they're thinking ahead that a merge is coming. And if a merge is coming, we have to know what we're both bringing as a strength. And if they've got the ability to kind of formulate plans together and work them through and see them through,
mm-hmm.
then that's obviously going to be a benefit coming into the merge. Because I do think that even though they're only going to come in with two, they bring a lot of strength coming in with two, because that's two more votes that somebody else can grab onto and say,
right.
hey, we need some numbers here. And you want to be working with the person who is that second person, you know, at part of that group. And if you're bringing in Jeannie, maybe it will, you know, she'll stick with Shan, but because she's not been strategizing this whole time, you can't feel good about going into a merge with someone who hasn't been strategizing right. and then suddenly expect them to start doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the other thing about Ricard is I think he's perceptive enough to have realized that, as Jeannie said, nobody on the tribe trusted him. So, you know, why would you then, you know, go with Jeannie when you know she's not really wanting to work with you?
Right. And she tried to vote him out.
Yeah.
There's
now.
That.
Yeah. Now, there's also another reason, which is that Ricard knew Shan had the active idol.
Mm-hmm.
And while he probably didn't expect her to play it, if he had voted against her and she used the idol, she goes from an ally to an enemy, which is obviously not something you want to have happen with the only other person from your tribe in the merge.
Right, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. We're back, so let's get back to the show.
All right. Well, it's about time to wrap things up. So, Jessica, what are your final thoughts?
Well, Jeannie came into this game expecting everyone to like her. And I do think that she was successful in mm-hmm. that endeavor. I do think that everybody liked Jeannie, who played the game with her. And I do think that Jeannie was very good at playing this game in Jeannie's own way. She wanted to create relationships and bonds and have friends and take care of her tribe. And that's what she did. But unfortunately for Jeannie, that's kind of where it ended. She didn't take that a step further and turn it into a strategy component of her game. I think she kind of fell short thinking, if everybody likes me, everyone will want to keep me. But unfortunately, in this day and age, when it comes to Survivor, actual Survivor skills and people liking you, that's a way down on the list concern to have. We talk a lot about that. Who do you like better coming into play when you're at that final tribal council and voting for who's going to win? And well, if they're both kind of on the same playing field, who do I like better becomes an issue. But for Jeannie, you got to be on the field playing in order for them to have that consideration of you. So it doesn't even become a factor that someone will check off on a box if you haven't played a very strong Survivor game. So she needed to combine the two. I'm going to be likable. People are going to, you know, I'm going to be nice. And in addition to, I'm going to play a hell of a strategy game. And she just wasn't doing that. She was relying solely on her personality, her likability factor, hoping that that was going to carry her through. And unfortunately, she couldn't even sell that herself when she was making her final plea, if you will, to Shan and Ricard as to why she should be the one that is not voted out. And so unfortunately for Jeannie, even though she's a truly adorable, like likable, like great human being, it just doesn't carry over into the game of Survivor, especially when you are playing with people like Shan and Ricard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you talked about certain things falling down on the list, like providing for your tribe and everything. They fell so far down that they fell off of the rules. Like, you know, if you look at the poster back here, they're, mm-hmm. you know, the poster goes to the top of my couch. They're like on the floor, you know.
But, so. It's not even on the poster.
Yeah. Yeah, Jeannie said in her interviews that she played with too much honesty. And she's right. She also played with far too little, well, gameplay. I think a lot of Jeannie's game can be summed up by the scene in this episode where Shan was off at Risk Your Vote Island. That's what happens when I make up names. So Shan was out of there. And as soon as Ricard wanted to discuss strategy with Jeannie, Jeannie got up and ran to tend the fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she did. She cooked, she fished, she tended the fire, she gathered wood, she got water. All of those things are necessary at some level for survival, but they are not part of the gameplay of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie is a very nice person. I like her, but she was not cut out for this game of scheming and plotting and lying and backstabbing. Rob predicted at the end of Know It Alls that we would determine Jeannie didn't scheme and plot enough. That's certainly a big part of the reason. She also wasn't flexible, played completely with her heart, and gave away information about an idol that could have saved her. Almost everything we discussed, weaving into every rule, comes back to Jeannie just not really playing the game of Survivor. And that is why Jeannie lost.
Sorry, Jeannie.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get to our predictions, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available in poster form, T-shirt form, another
Professor
T-shirt
Bloomberg
form,
coming out.
Mug form,
every form
possible.
Yeah.
So just again, go to robhasapodcast.com/yxlostfeeds. Oh, and it's That's getting right. cool out here. So, you know, sweatshirt form, too.
I'm waiting on my sweatshirt.
Oh,
a sweatshirt. Well, I ordered one forever ago, but we'll get that.
Well, get it. Yeah.
Apparently the slouchy sweatshirt is like a happening hot commodity. So
it is.
I can
tell you from my son who works in, I don't know if I'd call it fashion clothing, that mm-hmm. Yes, oversized is where it's at. So
yeah.
You
I was like,
trend.
I'm getting me a slouchy
yes,
sweatshirt.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe their shipping department is just, you know, having issues like ours sometimes does. All right. So
that was a good point. The damn shipping department. Who's in charge here? Who do I need to speak to?
Okay, Karen. all right. Well. While you recover from that, it's time once again for predictions. And now, we saw in the preview that everyone will be dropping their buffs, but it's not exactly a merge.
What? What the?
What does that mean, Jeff? What does that mean, Jeff? We don't know. We don't know if it's a swap to two tribes of six, if they're all sort of going to be merged, but there will be some sort of twist or what. Here is my official guess.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. There will be two tribal councils with six players in each tribal council, but either it'll be mixed up far enough ahead of time. So when they I don't know what they'd be competing for at that point, but maybe some sort of reward, or they may not know who it is until just before the challenge, till after the challenge or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just the kind of wrench Jeff would love to throw in. And it is similar enough to something that's been done before where they, you know, they have the emerged tribe and then they break it up. I think it's been done at least internationally.
It's interesting. So. Well, and I spend too much time then paying attention to the color of people's buffs when they do their little preview. And I'm like, because you pay attention to like when they're saying certain things, what color buff they're wearing. So I do think that it's got to be clearly something that happens later, just based upon commentary that is being made and the color of people's buffs.
Okay.
Like, it seems like they are told, like, this is going to be a thing, but I don't want to be, I don't want people to think I'm like spoiling it because I'm not. I'm just looking at
the I think I know what you're talking about. There's one point where Deshaun wearing a blue buff says something.
And Nasir does too.
Yeah. And it's like, what are you talking about? How would you know that?
Yeah.
I suspect it's out of context. But
and that's what I, and it probably is.
You know,
because,
or
you
they
know,
all they, get blue buffs and that's why they only show people from the blue tribe or.
Yeah. It's definitely questionable at
right,
best.
Right.
But
so,
who knows?
However it all shakes out, I still feel like Sydney is in danger. Maybe she gets separated from those who support her. I don't know. Then again, Erica could be in trouble. I mean, we've seen enough of that. Not that we've seen enough of Erica, but we've seen enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or Liana could steal Nasir's idol and he could be in trouble. There are so many options that I'm just as confused as a goat on AstroTurf.
Oh my goodness. And broccolis are little trees and I see dead people.
Yes.
So here's what my thought is. I think it's Xander is going to be in some hot water. Mm. If there's any weird conglomeration of people coming together and things happening, because here's the problem with Nasir. I'm not Nasir. I was Xander. Did I say Nasir?
The second time, but not the first time.
Okay. So here's my concern with Xander. Too many people know about all the shit he's got in his bag, right? And once it, just with the gameplay that we have seen so far, anyone who has too many advantages becomes a big old threat for everybody else. And so they just want to get that person like away. Like, we're going to get rid of that person because then we don't need to worry about it. And I feel like he's in a situation where you have a very strong group of three women who are desirous of working together. Mm-hmm. And who seem desirous of working with other women. And if there's any opportunity to bring people together and they might grab a couple of more women, they might be like, hey, you know what?
Or, or Shannon Ricard.
But that's what, but Shan comes with Ricard, right?
Yes.
So if they grab onto Shan and she's got Ricard, Shan's not going to share what she knows about all of her stuff because we know this about Shan. But there's no reason to not throw Xander under the bus, right? If you are that group and this is your idea that you want to keep everybody together, I feel like Xander is someone that they could offer up as like a sacrificial lamb. Like, hey, listen, here's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make a decision. We know what this guy's got in his bag. He's too much of a threat. Let's get rid of him. And then we don't need to worry about all that stuff. That's my theory.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to stubbornly stick by my prediction of Sydney.
And that's fine.
It's going to be one of these things where I'm just going to keep picking her until she goes. You know, she might end up winning the damn season, but I'm going to keep picking her until.
That would be hysterical if that happens.
So.
And she can pay her own credit card bills.
Hey, she's the tribe provider.
Mm.
She caught like 11 fish or 9 fish or something like that.
You know what? I should give her props because that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I will say that like. Good for her. Like, I think that's awesome that she went out and she actually was able to do that. So I'm not trying to like badmouth or anything. It's that whole thing I've already discussed. But yeah awesome that she went out and actually like caught so many fish.
Yes. Now, so yeah, we'll see what happens. As we begin to wrap up, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron or just go to our page and there it is. You could just click on RHAP on Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
You can get special patron only access to certain podcasts and call in shows like the Survivor Q&A, some non-recorded patron content on other platforms like Discord, early patron podcast releases, there's other ways to have fun and interact. You know, the monthly call-in shows and the Facebook groups where we are. So, yeah, just, again, go to robhaswebsite.com/patron or click the link on robhaswebsite.com/yxlostfeeds. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
That's right. Or you can also, you can do both. You can do that and, I should say, not or.
Yes, and.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JessicaLewis89 and he is at David Bloomberg. You should follow us both because David likes to steal my tweets and then pretend that they're his. And somehow he changes the time.
I guess I should have saved my truth-telling question for Dang, I used them all up. Otherwise, I could have forced you to admit.
You cheated, too. You asked me three.
Well,
so you should definitely follow us both.
Hold on. It says four.
Oh, wait. There's a new advantage.
It says four.
What, did you just pull that out of your bag with all your other pieces of paper?
I wasn't sure where you were going to say
I'm
pulled that out.
I'm going to call you Xander. Oh, you pulled it out of your pants?
Yeah, no.
Call you JD. All right, so you should follow us both.
Yes.
Jessica Lewis 89 at David Bloomberg. I mean, if you think this is funny, you know, Twitter's pretty funny too. So you should definitely follow us both. And I'm going to give you one more TikTok plug here because, Listen, David Bloomberg is putting out some awesome TikToks. You should definitely check him out at, what is it, David Bloomberg?
David_Bloomberg.
All right.
Someone stole the David Bloomberg name.
You got to put in the underscore. Who is that guy?
I don't know. Probably David Bloomberg. It's just a guess.
It's a great guess. Yeah, it's a great guess.
Yes. And yeah, a lot of people talk about becoming addicted to watching TikToks. I'm more addicted to creating them. And I will spend a long time creating one, like all those clips I took to make the many faces of Tiffany. You'll think, oh, that one's going to get a lot of people viewing it. And that one, it won't. And you're like, why? Why didn't it? I don't understand.
Listen.
I don't understand the mechanism of TikTok. So if everybody follows me, that will help. Right?
TikTok is amazing.
Yes.
It is my brain cleaner for the day because I have too many things up here that I have to deal with. And so then I just sit on TikTok and it's just numbing. And I get to watch fish try to eat food. And someone does a voiceover and it's the most amazing thing I've seen in the longest time ever. So
one of my first ones was the fish dance at Yasa. So,
so you just never know what you're going to stumble
upon.
That's
right.
And is it a bones day or a no bones day?
I don't even know
what
that means. I'm not
exactly.
To, so.
This is what I'm saying. If you're a Twitter,
if you're a
TikTok person, it's late. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of wine, but. If you are a TikTok person, you will know if it's a bones or a no bones.
Ah, okay. Also, I do plan to post more on Instagram. So go ahead and follow me there, david.e.bloomberg, because both of those other handles were taken.
Yeah, and I'm Jessica Lewis 6789 on Instagram if you'd like to follow that as well.
Okay. Of course, everyone should also make sure you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts. Bye. Hey, guess where you can go to do that? To the YX Lost Feeds page.
Here comes the professor.
You know, and there it is right there. Subscribe to Survivor Feed on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify.
Fantastic.
So,
good stuff.
Yeah. There you'll find great content like the Know-It-Alls, the B&B, Taryn Armstrong, Stockwatch, Shannon Gus's International, and much more. Now, as part of that much more, this week we want to highlight the Bachelorette Wrap-Up. Now, in fact, the hosts of the Bachelorette Wrap-Up are Amy and Haley. They were the first co-hosts on the Wrap-Ups network.
Crazy.
Yeah. So for the first time ever, there are two separate Bachelorette seasons in 1 year. And the second one, starring Michelle Young, just premiered last week. You can get Amy and Haley's takes on romance, roses, right reasons, and more. So many of the Wrap-Ups.
I like how right reasons.
Right reasons. What are the right reasons?
Because you're on a TV show and you have to pick one.
Yes. Yeah, probably. but if you watch the show regularly or you just want to stay plugged into the highlights, you can listen to the podcast. You even get date ideas, relationship tips, and much like this podcast, advice for what not to do if you ever find yourself in a similar situation. Although in their case, that situation is like competing with 30 people for the love of your life. A little bit different.
Crazily different.
And on Survivor, we know someone gets the million at the end. There's no guarantee. As a matter of fact, there's almost a guarantee against the people ending up as a couple. But hey, it's fun along the way, right? So be sure
to
subscribe.
It's like a train wreck. You got to watch.
Yeah. Subscribe and listen to the Bachelorette Wrap-Up.
You definitely should. And I would like to say thank you at this point in time to all of the incredible people that support this podcast and RHAP as a whole. So thank you, Scott St. Pierre, for all of the editing that you do for both the Why Blank Lost podcast and all of the other podcasts on RHAP. So thank you so much for that. You are an incredible asset to this community. And also thank you to Will from America for the incredible theme song that you have created for us that plays at the beginning of this podcast. It's very catchy. It's a nice little tune. So thank you so much for that, Will. And David, thank you for another fabulous time here. I had a great time with you, and you always let me kvetch so well. So I appreciate that very much.
Yes. Well, and thank you, Jessica. I will use the golden lasso, the lasso of truth on myself, and say I was very happy to be here.
So, oh, well, look at you, that. I'm glad that that's the truth.
Yes. But yes, thank you very much. And thank you for always telling the truth, even if I don't have a lasso.
Got to tell it like it is, right? That's right.
Except when you talk about tweets, you don't tell the truth then. But
stop it. That is so true.
That's what I said is so true.
No, so, what I said is true.
Well, on that note, everybody check out our Twitter and TikTok and everything else. And of course, be right back here in 1 week. Bye.
Bye.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost.